This is the reading for September 28th. Jeremiah chapter 37. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had appointed Zedekiah, son of Josiah, to be king of Judah. Zedekiah took the place of Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim. But Zedekiah, his servants, and the people of Judah did not listen to the words the Lord had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. Now King Zedekiah sent Jehukal, son of Shelemiah, and the priest Zephaniah, son of Messiah, with a message to Jeremiah the prophet. This was the message: Jeremiah, please pray to the Lord our God for us. At that time, Jeremiah had not yet been put into prison, so he was free to go anywhere he wanted. The army of the king of Egypt had marched from Egypt toward Judah. Now the Babylonian army had surrounded the city of Jerusalem. When they heard about the Egyptian army marching toward them, the Babylonian army left Jerusalem. The Lord spoke his word to Jeremiah the prophet. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: Jehukal and Zephaniah, I know Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent you to seek my help. Tell this to King Zedekiah: the army of the king of Egypt came here to help you, but they will go back to Egypt. After that, the Babylonian army will return and attack Jerusalem and capture it and burn it down. This is what the Lord says: People of Jerusalem, do not fool yourselves. Don't say, the Babylonian army will surely leave us alone. They will not. Even if you defeated all of the Babylonian army that is attacking you, and there were only a few injured men left in their tents, they would come from their tents and burn down Jerusalem. So the Babylonian army left Jerusalem to fight the army of the king of Egypt. Now Jeremiah tried to travel from Jerusalem to the land of Benjamin to get his share of the property that belonged to his family. When Jeremiah got to the Benjamin gate of Jerusalem, the captain in charge of the guards arrested him. The captain's name was Arijah, son of Shelemiah, son of Hananiah. Arijah said, "You are leaving us to join the Babylonians." But Jeremiah said to Arijah, "That's not true. I am not leaving to join the Babylonians." Arijah refused to listen to Jeremiah, so he arrested Jeremiah and took him to the officers of Jerusalem. Those rulers were very angry with Jeremiah and beat him. Then they put him in jail in the house of Jonathan, the royal secretary, which had been made into a prison. So those people put Jeremiah into a cell in a dungeon, and Jeremiah was there for a long time. Then King Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah and had him brought to the palace. Zedekiah asked him in private, "Is there any message from the Lord?" Jeremiah answered, "Yes, there is." "Zedekiah, you will be handed over to the king of Babylon." Then Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, "What crime have I done against you or your officers or the people of Jerusalem? Why have you thrown me into prison? Where are your prophets that prophesied this message to you? The king of Babylon will not attack you or this land of Judah. But now, my master, king of Judah, please listen to me and please do what I ask of you. Do not send me back to the house of Jonathan, the royal secretary, or I will die there." So King Zedekiah gave orders for Jeremiah to be put under guard in the courtyard of the guard and to be given bread each day from the street of the bakers, until there was no more bread in the city. So he stayed under guard in the courtyard of the guard. Jeremiah chapter 38. Shephatiah son of Mattan, Gedaliah son of Pasher, Jehukal son of Shelemiah, and Pasher son of Micaiah heard what Jeremiah was telling all the people. He said, "This is what the Lord says: Everyone who stays in Jerusalem will die from war or hunger or terrible diseases. But everyone who surrenders to the Babylonian army will live. They will escape with their lives and live. And this is what the Lord says: This city of Jerusalem will surely be handed over to the army of the king of Babylon. He will capture the city." Then the officers said to the king, "Jeremiah must be put to death. He is discouraging the soldiers who are still in the city and all the people by what he is saying to them. He does not want good to happen to us. He wants to ruin us." King Zedekiah said to them, "Jeremiah is in your control. I cannot do anything to stop you." So the officers took Jeremiah and put him into the well of Malchijah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guards. The officers used ropes to lower Jeremiah into the well, which did not have any water in it, only mud. And Jeremiah sank down into the mud. But Ebed-Melech, a Cushite, and a servant in the palace, heard that the officers had put Jeremiah into the well. As King Zedekiah was sitting at the Benjamin Gate, Ebed-Melech left the palace and went to the king. Ebed-Melech said to him, "My master and king, these rulers have acted in an evil way. They have treated Jeremiah the prophet badly. They have thrown him into a well and left him there to die. When there is no more bread in the city, he will starve to death." Then King Zedekiah commanded Ebed-Melech the Cushite, "Take 30 men from the palace and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the well before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to a room under the storeroom in the palace. He took some old rags and worn-out clothes from that room. Then he let those rags down with some ropes to Jeremiah in the well. Ebed-Melech the Cushite said to Jeremiah, "Put these old rags and worn-out clothes under your arms to be pads for the ropes." So Jeremiah did as Ebed-Melech said. The men pulled Jeremiah up with the ropes and lifted him out of the well. And Jeremiah stayed under guard in the courtyard of the guard. Then King Zedekiah sent someone to get Jeremiah the prophet and bring him to the third entrance to the temple of the Lord. The king said to Jeremiah, "I am going to ask you something. Do not hide anything from me, but tell me everything honestly." Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I give you an answer, you will surely kill me. And even if I give you advice, you will not listen to me." But King Zedekiah made a secret promise to Jeremiah, "As surely as the Lord lives, who has given us breath and life, I will not kill you, and I promise not to hand you over to the officers who want to kill you." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "This is what the Lord God All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says. If you surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, your life will be saved. Jerusalem will not be burned down, and you and your family will live. But if you refuse to surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, Jerusalem will be handed over to the Babylonian army, and they will burn it down, and you yourself will not escape from them." Then King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "I'm afraid of some Jews who have already gone over to the side of the Babylonian army. If the Babylonians hand me over to them, they will treat me badly." But Jeremiah answered, "The Babylonians will not hand you over to the Jews. Obey the Lord by doing what I tell you. Then things will go well for you and your life will be saved. But if you refuse to surrender to the Babylonians, the Lord has shown me what will happen. All the women left in the palace of the king of Judah will be brought out and taken to the important officers of the king of Babylon. Your women will make fun of you with this song, 'Your good friends misled you and were stronger than you. While your feet were stuck in the mud, they left you.' All your wives and children will be brought out and given to the Babylonian army. You yourself will not even escape from them. You will be taken prisoner by the king of Babylon, and Jerusalem will be burned down." Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "Do not tell anyone that I have been talking to you, or you will die. If the officers find out I talk to you, they will come to you and say, 'Tell us what you said to King Zedekiah and what he said to you. Don't keep any secrets from us. But if you don't tell us everything, we will kill you. If they ask you, tell them, I was begging the king not to send me back to Jonathan's house to die.'" All the officers did come to question Jeremiah, so he told them everything the king had ordered him to say. Then the officers said no more to Jeremiah, because no one had heard what Jeremiah and the king had discussed. So Jeremiah stayed under guard in the courtyard of the guard until the day Jerusalem was captured.
Chapter 8.
So those who are believers in Christ Jesus can no longer be condemned. The standards of the Spirit, who gives life through Christ Jesus, have set you free from the standards of sin and death. It is impossible to do what God's standards demand because of the weakness our human nature has, but God sent His Son to have a human nature as sinners have and to pay for sin. That way God condemns sin in our corrupt nature. Therefore we, who do not live by our corrupt nature but by our spiritual nature, are able to meet God's standards. Those who live by the corrupt nature have the corrupt nature's attitude. But those who live by the spiritual nature have the spiritual nature's attitude. The corrupt nature's attitude leads to death, but the spiritual nature's attitude leads to life and peace. This is so because the corrupt nature has a hostile attitude toward God. It refuses to place itself under the authority of God's standards because it can't. Those who are under the control of the corrupt nature can't please God. But if God's Spirit lives in you, you are under the control of your spiritual nature, not your corrupt nature. Whoever doesn't have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to Him. However, if Christ lives in you, your bodies are dead because of sin, but your spirits are alive because you have God's approval. Does the Spirit of the one who brought Jesus back to life live in you? Then the one who brought Christ back to life will also make your mortal bodies alive by His Spirit who lives in you. So, brothers and sisters, we have no obligation to live the way our corrupt nature wants us to live. If you live by your corrupt nature, you are going to die. If you use your spiritual nature to put to death the evil activities of the body, you will live. Certainly, all who are guided by God's Spirit are God's children. You haven't received the spirit of slaves that leads you into fear again. Instead, you've received the spirit of God's adopted children by which we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we are His children, we are also God's heirs. If we share in Christ's suffering in order to share His glory, we are heirs together with Him. I consider our present sufferings insignificant compared to the glory that will soon be revealed to us. All creation is eagerly waiting for God to reveal who His children are. Creation was subjected to frustration, but not by its own choice. The one who subjected it to frustration did so in the hope that it would also be set free from slavery to decay in order to share the glorious freedom that the children of God will have. We know that all creation has been groaning with the pains of childbirth up to the present time. However, not only creation groans, we who have the Spirit as the first of God's gifts also groan inwardly. We groan as we eagerly await for our adoption, the freeing of our bodies from sin. We were saved with this hope in mind. If we hope for something we already see, it's not really hope. Who hopes for what can be seen? But if we hope for what we don't see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. At the same time, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we don't know how to pray for what we need. But the Spirit intercedes along with our groans that cannot be expressed in words. The one who searches our hearts knows what the Spirit has in mind. The Spirit intercedes for God's people the way God wants Him to. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those whom He has called according to His plan. This is true because He already knew His people and had already appointed them to have the same form as the image of His Son. Therefore, His Son is the firstborn among many children. He also called those whom He had already appointed. He approved of those whom He had called, and He gave glory to those whom He had approved of. What can we say about all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? God didn't spare His own Son, but handed Him over to death for all of us. So He will also give us everything along with Him. Who will accuse those whom God has chosen? God has approved of them. Who will condemn them? Christ has died, and more importantly, He was brought back to life. Christ has the highest position in heaven. Christ also intercedes for us. What will separate us from the love Christ has for us? Can trouble, distress, persecution, hunger, nakedness, danger, or violent death separate us from His love? As Scripture says, we are being killed all day long because of you. We are thought of as sheep to be slaughtered. The one who loves us gives us an overwhelming victory in all these difficulties. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, which Christ Jesus our Lord shows us. We can't be separated by death or life, by angels or rulers, by anything in the present or anything in the future, by forces or powers in the world above or in the world below, or by anything else in creation.